number you believe for. And if you want the youth group to be a certain size, you say it out loud, you pray it, you have a bunch of people pray, watch what I do. So I saw, it was like almost like a party. I saw the church ablaze with maybe 500 young people, and they're going crazy. And the Lord says, if you let me, I'll have the young people take over the church. I'll blow things up there with young people. God, thank you for doing it. And, you know, the cool thing is this. You don't have to be like anybody. You have to be like yourself. You don't have to mimic anybody. Just be yourself. And you're going to find real peace in that. The Lord's releasing you from some kind of constraining thing in your past in regards to religious training or religious calling. And God says, this is an open season for you. This is a season with no boundaries, and you can go as far as you want to go as high as you want to go, and build as big as you want to go. I'm letting you be the architect of what is going to happen. And God says, if you want it, you can have it. Now, God, I thank you for outrageous faith, great things happening. I thank you for the healing of things the last year. Almost a year ago, some things happened, some disappointments relationally and et cetera. But God says, I've got everything you need in your future. And if you'll just keep walking with me, you're going to receive by my hand the things you've asked for from your heart. God, thank you. We bless our brother. Thank you, God. And, you know, Pastor Brian, this young man's going to be a city taker like you. God's going to grow him up. And really, these next 5 years are important in his life for what's going to happen between you and him and the kingdom. God, we bless him in Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank God for all these men and women. They're awesome. Hey, someone take a picture for me. So everybody stay up here for a picture. This will be the official picture for my iPhone. Thank you, Larry. Well, you guys can be seated. We want to thank you. Listen, I'm taping tonight. If you give me 20 minutes, I need to tape for our television program, I've been told. So I have a 22-minute message. Is that okay if I speak that to you about prophecy? In fact, it's about the things we talked about tonight. So we're talking about warring with our prophetic words, and that's going to be my little word. In fact, it has a lot to do with this wonderful group of people we just prayed for. And about also for your life. So I'm going to be reading from the book of Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, we'll put it on the screen too, possibly. Tell your neighbor God is good. Listen, the importance of what just happened is this. A leader is not just someone that's fulfilling a role for God. It's a person that God has multiplied the dimensions of his grace and presence in. So they're a dynamic package of kingdom expressed gifts. So when God raises up a leader, it has consequence. And man, we just prayed for just wonderful folks. Look out, surprise. Look out, Prescott. Heaven's on the way, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Can I have an amen? Amen. Of whom I am chief. Finally, Paul admits that. It took him a while from his Pharisee background to he was the chief of apostles. He was the least of the church. Finally, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. That was a normal progression. The more comfortable you are in your kingdom identity, the easier it is to express true humility. People that can't express humility feel like they lose too much of their identity. But when you know who you are and what God's done for you, you know it's all Jesus. Everything that happens is Jesus. And you can take your place. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible, To God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Oh, man, that's a beautiful prayer. It became an important song in the early church. Still is. Now, here's my sermon. I charge you, this charge, I commit to you, son. We've charged people tonight with a calling, with an ordination. It's not just a paper presentation. It is a spiritual impartation, a divine download. He said, I charge you, son Timothy. Two important words, the word charge and the word son. So he's not charging him as a slave or a son. Amen? As a close to God, God the Father. Son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. So we're talking about waging war with our prophecies. Waging war with your prophecies. So you have to get this, because if you don't understand why God speaks to you, or the future purpose of a present moment in God's visitation, revelation always has a consequence in your future. And so here's what he said. He's praying for Timothy. He prays in the Holy Ghost. Shikamalala. He's interpreting the prayers. He writes the epistles. They become, you know, part of the canon of scripture. But here's what he said. I'm praying for you, and I feel like that you're going through a battle. And he said, you feel powerless. You feel, God, send me a weapon. And Paul said, you've already got your weapon. You have to get this. The encounter you have with God today empowers you for the battle you have with the enemy tomorrow. When we miss today's encounter, we're not prepared for tomorrow's struggle. But Paul said, we laid hands on you. We prophesied. We did a Holy Ghost rain dance around you. You felt the glory of God, okay? You got a prophetic word. And so everyone loves prophetic words. They're good. They're awesome, amen? But they have purpose beyond the instantaneous impartation of edification. They have a purpose for battle in your future. And he said, go dust off your prophetic word and put it to work now. Pray it, say it, declare it, confess it, sing it, meditate on it. Because the word you got yesterday is the weapon you need today. So every time, so you're reading your Bible, it's, oh man, this is so good. Oh, you feel God speaking to you from the Bible. And you, oh, this is all so good. Put it in your devotions, your book, or underline it. But understand that moment of revelation is going to have a consequence, a moment of necessity in your future. So everything God speaks to you prophetically, from his word or by his spirit or through the mouth of prophets, through visions, dreams, prophecies, the Holy Spirit leadings, through the anointing of the scripture, through revelation, all of those things have a consequence. So God says, start saying things now that you heard then. Y'all with me? So you have to. In the heat of conflict, God always prepares us with a word of deliverance. And we have to remember those things. When Mary and I first started the church, several things happened. And one of them was, I felt like the Lord, I was feeling disconnected from the Lord. And I was having a hard time hearing from God, which I never do. And I make my pastor friends jealous, because I write sermons really easily. Because I can write 100 of them, because God, he speaks to me all the time. So by the time I get to Sunday, listen, Sunday's sermon was like the 7th one I went through this week. No, I can do better. No, that's good. And so it's wonderful to hear from God. So I was having a hard time hearing from God. And I said, God, have I done something? And I examined my heart. You know, I didn't feel like there was unconfessed sin, unrepentant sin. And the Lord said to me, he said this exact sentence, why should I give you a new word when you rejected the last word I gave you? And so right away in my mind, about 2 months before, I was at my friend's church in California, Eagles Nest, Gary Grunewald's church, and I was on the stage there. He called us forward. We were there kind of ministering, but also participating. A prophet named Bill Hammond was there. He prophesied over me. He said, young man, you're going to write books. In fact, you're going to write a book, you know, very soon. And when he said that, I giggled out loud. And so everybody's thinking, oh, the pastor's so happy. No, I was filled with so much unbelief. I giggled. The only person I've ever written up to then was my wife in college, and I only wrote her because they came and ripped the phone out of my apartment because of the phone bill. So I became a writer. That's back then. This ancient, Google it, young people. It's an ancient thing people used to do with pens and paper. And so I got this, I listened to it, and it said, you'll write books. So for the next, listen to me, for the next 3 weeks, here's what I did. Thank you, God, for books. You said I'd write books. I'm the writer of books. My hand is the pen of a ready writer. I just confessed it all the time. Had a guest speaker come to my church named Rick Godwin. So he's up there speaking up about something. And about 5 minutes into his message, I was somewhere else. And God just took me visually to the book of Joshua. And I saw these big, huge letters say Joshua Generation. And I saw, literally, I saw the outline of a 16-chapter book. God downloaded a book to me in a church service. I went home and it took me about 10 days to write it. But I had it all. And I got it by warring with my prophetic word. See, when God gives you something, God gives it to you to break through in your life. So prophecy doesn't just tell you what you have, it tells you what you're supposed to have. God doesn't talk to you about just where you are, he talks about where he wants you to be. And you get there through the exercise when you say what God said, you release God to do what he said he'd do. So that's the importance of a prophetic word. Turn to someone and say your prophecy. Turn the other way and say your prophecy. Okay? What is the prophetic word over your life? What has God been saying to you? What have you heard from God? So Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, God inviting us, and I will answer. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know. God says, I can't wait to show you your future. I can't wait to show you things to come. I can't wait to unveil the next realm of your destiny. If you ask me, you'll get it. Seek me, call on me, and watch what I do for you. That's God's promise to us. Jesus said in the wilderness when the temptation with the enemy, he said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now you have to get this. God has a today word for your life. That today word will launch you into tomorrow's destiny. It will help you overcome the battles and difficulties between there and then. And when you have that word with you, when you have that promise from God, when you have the prophetic equipping from God, you're ready. You're ready for battle. Now, so if you ever go through a season, say, gosh, I'm getting on. Everywhere I go, I'm getting prophecies. Yeah, be happy today because tomorrow you'll be needing them. You know, a couple years ago, I hadn't got prophecies for years. A couple years ago, I got 4 or 5, bang, right in a row. You Dutch sheets, this other guy, blah, 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 blah. Doctor, I run a bang, 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 bang. They're all this apostolic stuff. Oh, that's so special. Then all of a sudden, I'm thrust into a new apostolic role. And so I'm every day confessing my prophecies. I'm not going to drown. God said I'd make it. Jesus' name. I can do this. The Bible, God said I could do it. You know what I'm saying? Today, in fact, today I had some things working through with preachers and churches and stuff. So God called me to do it. I can do it. I'm called to do it. He said so. Okay? So don't forget your prophecy. So it's so important. Jesus said, remember, the Holy Spirit will remind you. Don't forget the things God said to you. Don't forget the things God said to you. And stop begging God for something new when he's not finished the old one. I want a new word. Well, if someone's really hearing from God, they're just going to repeat the old word to you. Because if God's not done with it, it's because he has something for you, beloved. He loves you, he's for you, and he has things for you. Okay, when we say what we hear, we'll see what we say. I love that sentence. I said it a couple years ago, I'll never forget it. When we say what we hear, we'll see what we say. So something happens. God entrusts us in this beautiful partnership. He entrusts us to be the earthly echo of heavenly revelation in order to release kingdom transformation. So when we say it after heaven's said it, we'll see it. God can do it. It's a diastomos, the two-edged sword of the Spirit. So say what you hear from God. So instead of saying the obvious, oh, my kid's on drugs, or this is happening, or ask God for a word. When you get that word, whether it's from the scripture or prophecy, whatever it is, then you go to war with that word. Amen? You say, Mary and I, what we felt called to start a church in Scottsdale 30 years ago. So I've always had a little bit of a recklessness in faith. And sometimes it's wonderful and sometimes it's horrible. Okay? So I rented a building, bought chairs, got a sound system, and forgot to get a city permit. So I went to the city of Scottsdale, and Scottsdale said, well, we've never had a church in a commercial or a industrial building. We're never going to allow that. I applied 5 times and was denied 5 times. Now I've got a rented building with no power, with no ability to use it. I've stuck my neck out. I'm sitting in the Ontario airport in California. I'm sitting there thinking about how bleak my future looks. Oh my God, what have I done? And this wonderful man walks up next to me. Michael Maiden, is that you? I said, yes. Yes, Prophet Dick Mills. Good seeing you. He says, he's on his way to catch a plane. Just such a wonderful guy. Eclectic, eccentric. So fun to talk to. I spent hours with him over the years. So he says, I got a word for you. Favor for your city. Praise on the scriptures. Here. See you later. So how he would give prophecies is by scriptures. Great gift. Great recall. Great, incredible memory. So every scripture was about favor in the city. So Mary and I said, well, I guess God wants us to take those scriptures and apply them to our need. So we just started saying, Father, we declare favor with the city of Scottsdale, favor for permit, favor for everything we need from whatever source. A week later, the city calls me. Pastor Maiden, yes, this is, you know, someone for the vice mayor. We just want to apologize for denying you your permit 5 times. And we're going to give you your permit. In fact, we want to pay it so you don't even have a thing for it. And we welcome you to our city. Now, I believe that my prophetic word was the key that made that happen. So God will give you a word that unlocks the closed door for. So when you're looking at your family, don't pray the problem, pray the promise. Okay? Don't pray. Mary and I prayed for our son, Matthew, 7 years. He's on drugs. Cops want to arrest him. Drug dealers want to kill him. He's you know, just in a mess, a hurtful place in life. And for 7 years, I've been praying the problem. God, please, you know, deliver my son, help my son. And finally, the Lord said to me, I was laying on his bed crying, and God says, stop weeping for your son. And he said, start talking about your son as if he's already in his destiny. And Mary and I said, I told Mary, God told me to talk to him. Next time I saw my son, his eyes were bloodshot, and who knows where he'd been. It didn't matter. I said, Matthew, you're a history maker, a world shaker. God's going to do awesome things in your life. You're going to marry a godly woman, and you're going to be a great, great force in the earth for good. He said, yeah, Dad, great, Dad. Yeah. And 1 month after doing that, praying 7 years, 1 month after doing that, God sovereignly, supernaturally, dramatically, instantaneously delivered my son from drug addiction. Turn to someone and say, say it. That's right. Say your, when you say what you hear, you'll see what you say. Read the scripture with me. Romans chapter 4. I'll skip down a few verses to get to the meat of it. Talking about Abraham. Abraham's faith. Abraham not being weak in faith. Verse 19. Did not consider his own body already dead since he was 100 years old. Or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver from the promise of God through unbelief. So he didn't give up. He didn't allow circumstances to control his confession or dictate what he would say. So in verse 17, it says this. God now identifies the behavior of Abraham with his own behavior. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father to many nations. Neil, you're going to be a father to many nations. Brian, you'll be a father to many nations. I have made you a father to many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, even God. Now listen to this next sentence. Who gives life to the dead and calls those things that are not as though they were. That's where we lose people here, because they say, well, you know, you keep saying that mountain's not there, that mountain's there, but you don't understand, I'm moving it. That calls things as that are not as though they were. So here's what happened to Abraham. God shows up, he's 99, she's 89. And God says, it's time. Just turn to someone and say, it's your time. Just tell them that. God says, it's time. And he says, in fact, God says, here's the last thing you need to get over the hump into your destiny. He said, I'm changing your name from Abram, which means father, to Abraham, father of a great multitude. Y'all with me? That's what you call doubling down. That's a Donald Trump kind of move right there, okay? That's a... Your new name is not just Daddy. It's Daddy of Nations. He comes out of his prayer closet and he says, I got a new name. What is it? You know, is it some kind of name identifying your circumstance? No, he says, no, God told me I'm father of many nations. And here, and his wife's name was Sarah to Sarah, added to H, part of the suffix of God's name, Yahweh, put right in the middle of both their names. I don't have time to get into that too deep, but that's what happened. So they come out and they start calling themselves father and mother of nations, and they're 100. See, when you can do crazy things, you'll get crazy results. When you can have a faith that is so disattached to natural circumstances and so attached to God's heart, when you've got a faith that says, this is going to happen. So go back, our church is 12 years old. 12 years ago, started the church on 90th Avenue. I don't know, 70, 80 adults. Not that many, really. We had the big auditorium. No one's there. So I said, I have a word from God. And precious people, a lot of them have just followed me for 20 years. Wonderful people in our church, John and Betty Frank and the Cliffords. We just have wonderful people that have been a part of our life forever, like in Joni Harris. And anyways, I said, 10-10. And God said to me, he would give us a church of 10,000 and to start 10,000 churches. Now, when you preach that to 70 people, you with me? They're like, poor fella. Well, you know, he's been through a lot, honey. He's in a dissociative state of psychosis. He's out there. But I saw it. I heard it. And then I said it. Y'all with me? Well, those numbers are almost, they're almost matching up now. The churches we oversee, the church is the size of our campuses now. Our combined attendance is right at that number. And now I'm praying this other number, 40-40. 40,000 churches and 40,000 members in Arizona, all of our churches combined. Why not? Why not take Phoenix to heaven? Mary and I, when God started really teaching us about faith in 1984, I was an associate at a church that didn't pay me anything. We were living in poverty. We lived in the ghetto. We lived next to widows and gangbangers and with two little babies, and I just thought it was the hardship of the ministry. It really was religious poverty that God never asked me to live in. God spoke to me. He taught me about faith, and so I took a part-time job, 15, 20 hours a week, all commission, and for 10 straight months, every week, I got paid weekly, Mary and I agreed together every week for $2,000. Now, when you're making $100 a week. That's what I was making in the ministry. But God gave me faith. And we agreed together, and she's my witness, for 10 straight months. We'd agree, Father, thank you for $2,000 this week. And there was no salary, it was all commission. And for 10 straight months, every week, I made $2,000. I came in one day late to the office. Well, you know, I'm also pastoring, and I could see in the billboard that they tried to erase, but I could see the echo of it. And it was this thing: would someone please beat Mike this month? It drove the boss crazy that I was making more money than everybody and working less hours. But he didn't know the power of faith, the power of saying something, the power of hearing something and saying it. And then when God, from that moment, my faith was so peaked that when God told me to move the sconces to our church, it was okay, let's do it, God, we can do this. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He has to fulfill scripture. The Gospel of Matthew beautifully chronicles it. It says that it might be fulfilled. Matthew repeats that phrase often. It's a beautiful testimony of Matthew's ability to recall scripture in the Old Testament that Christ was fulfilling in his early ministry. But Christ has to get into Jerusalem. He has to ride a donkey. In fact, the donkey, a colt on which no one's ever sat. He sends two disciples. He has a word of knowledge where the colt is in the Bethpage. He sends them there and he says, go get the colt. It's tied up. Go loosen it. He said, now while you're loosing it, you may be resisted. And when they say to you, why are you loosening the colt? Say this. Say this. The Lord has need of it. They go there. They're loosening the colt. The owner comes out. What you doing? Trying to steal my car? What's up with you? Wouldn't it be cool to get, to drive... see that Bentley or Jaguar or say, the Lord has need of that. A colt, brand new car, no one's ever sat in. So Jesus gave them the word. The disciples said, the Lord needs this. When they said it, the resistance in the owner melted away. Because your prophetic word has the power to release your prophetic destiny. And see, you have to get that, or else when obstacles come, sometimes obstacles come and people think, well, I guess God doesn't want me to do that. That's not true at all. The ministry isn't just for open doors. I don't wait for doors to open. If God told me he wants to do something, I, kick in the door. Kindly and lovingly. If God's given you, never accept a no when God has already given you a yes. Don't allow the devil to cheat you away from your destiny by telling you it's never going to happen or something along those lines. Joel chapter 3 verse 10 says, when you feel weak, don't say it. Say something different. Let the weak say, I am strong. Y'all with me? Almost done. So this challenges us because, well, Pastor, I believe in just being real, Pastor. So do I. There's nothing wrong with saying, I'm fighting a sickness, but in Christ's name, I declare I'm healed. I'm not afraid of saying how things are. I just never allowed that to be the final word on the subject. Well, the doctor said this, but Jesus says this. Okay? So let the weak. So anybody here that's feeling weak, just say, I'm strong. Amen. Anybody here that's sick, just say, I'm healed. Anybody here that's broke, say, I'm blessed. Yeah, that got louder there. And so we say those things because they're weapons, they're instrumental tools that have the authority to unlock the kingdom purpose in our life. So Timothy, remember those things. You're called to be a man of God. Timothy's personality was different than Paul. He was shyer, more reserved, maybe an introvert, still called. And so Paul said, don't forget the things. You're the prophecy. You're a city taker. You're a Joshua guy, whatever the prophetic word was. Amen? And so God, he always will talk to you in real prophetic word, a real ministry from the Spirit in the Scriptures. He'll always talk to you about the advancing of his purpose in your life, where he wants you to be. Shows up with Elijah. Elijah just runs to the wilderness, and here's the prophetic word he got. What you doing here? When you're in the wrong place, you're always in a lesser grace. Get back to your place and watch your grace activate. Get back to where you're supposed to be. Get back to your assignment and your destiny. Last scripture in Luke chapter 17. Thank you for letting me go a little long tonight. And thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for being part of this very special service in the life of these people. So I'm preaching to them, preaching to you, preaching to those watching by television. The apostle said, verse 5, increase our faith. Everybody shout, increase my faith. So here's God's response. Now, you have to get this. God says, that's not my job. He said, whatever you use, you get more of. Use what you got. You with me? Everybody wants to look like that muscle man. But you had the exact same composition of muscles that he has, just in different developments. You have, underneath this vest, I have a six-pack. It's underneath some other things, but it's down there. Okay? Everybody's got one. Okay. Increase our faith. Here's what Jesus said now about faith. If you have faith like a mustard seed, this is so profound. A mustard seed, you can see it, but it's almost microscopic. So I was going to pass them out tonight, but what for? You just would drop them on the floor and have to vacuum up tomorrow. They're tiny. And Jesus said, it's the smallest. See, it's not the size of your faith, it's the size of your God. In his kingdom, even a little faith accomplishes big things. If you have faith like a mustard seed, you'll say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, there's all kinds of metaphoric, disposition to that. So Jesus said, you'll make things happen by faith. I remember the first time I was called to, in this gospel to pray for someone at the hospital. A little girl, I don't want to be overly graphic, but she had a disease that was eating her flesh. And she was losing limbs. They were just chopping them off. And so they chopped off one arm. They were getting ready to chop off a leg. And she's two years old. And so I hate hospitals. I don't have a hospital ministry, but I have to go. God told me to go. I go in there. I'm praying in tongues. I felt nothing. I felt intimidated by the odor of the hospital. It's too clean. Makes me feel uncomfortable as a man. Now my wife's got me used to being living in it. So anyways, I come into the room and she's in an oxygen tent. Do not disturb on this thing. They're prepping her for surgery. And so I said, well, and am I allowed to touch her? He said, the only thing you can touch is you can touch one of her fingers. Put your hand up through the tent and don't disturb her. So I touched her finger and I was like more scared than her. I said, Jesus, you can do this. I know you can heal this baby. That's about it. No shouting, no tongues, interpretation of tongues, no angelic visits, no goose pimples. I felt nothing. I felt the environment around me, but I acted in faith. Here's what Jesus said. The act of praying for someone is faith. You lay hands on the sick, I'll heal them. That's what Jesus told us. I go back. Next day, I get this frantic phone call. Pastor. Yes. What happened? Is she okay? Pastor, when they prepped her for surgery, they took her to the room, and the disease had left her body. So I said, are you sure? I didn't really feel a lot. I didn't feel an unction. I love feeling stuff. Okay? But I felt nothing. I had faith the size of a mustard seed. It's not the size of your faith, it's the size of your God. But you have to use the faith you have. Okay, last part of this verse. Okay, and which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep would say to him that has come in from the field, the servant, come at once and sit down to eat. But wouldn't you rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, gird yourself and serve me until I've eaten and drunk. Afterwards, he'll eat and drink himself. Now, so Jesus said this. Your faith is your servant. Make sure your servant's working even when you're resting. Tonight, we're here. My faith's out there tonight, changing worlds. Blessing churches, pastors, things I've said all day, all week, things I've prophesied, prayed, things I've spoken to them or just out loud. My faith is all over the world. I often will pray in one day for 150 nations by memory. Just going through the and just prophesying things. My faith, I love to keep faith exhausted. So when I get to heaven, I want my servant faith to come, oh. Thank God you're over. You don't want to get to heaven and find out you had this powerful servant called faith that could have at any moment changed the world because of what you told it to do. He said in the same passage, you'll say to the mountain, be cast into the sea. If you have faith, you'll say it. Here's how Jesus said it in Mark 11. Have faith in God. Whoever will say, Mark 11, 23, whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart the things he says, he'll have whatever he says. The dominant feature of faith is voice, is speaking. Amen? Joshua's 115. He's done. He's on his way out. He's cranky. He's ready for heaven. And he rises up from his deathbed. He looks at all the Israelites and says, I don't know about you jokers, but as for my tribe, as for me and my family, he looks over them, right? We will serve the Lord. You have to get this. Joseph dies. He prophesies where he'd be buried. He said, someday you're going to go into the promised land. Carry my bones with you. There is all kinds of some wonderful grandma 30 years ago in the third pew here cried out for God to do something in this city, in this church. And even when it dwindled down to 60 people and they called me 6 years ago, said, please take it over. Her prayers, she may have went to heaven, but her faith is in this room. Her faith is in this city. Whatever God said to you about your life, if God, listen, people ask me all the time, Pastor, you know, this is happening in my marriage. Should we stay married? What should I do? I say, what is Jesus saying to you? See, people that love you, if you're in a troubled marriage, will say, get out. You know what I mean? They'll say things. But if you talk to Jesus, he might say, I'm not done. Never stop fighting for something God's not done giving you. And if God puts fight in you, faith in you, it's because he's not done. Whatever it is, business, marriage, life, ministry. People say, well, Pastor, how come you never left Phoenix? I've tried to. I said, Jesus, send me to Hawaii. Honest, I got so desperate 13 years ago. I said, God, I don't care where I go. I'll raise my kids, all my blonde kids, in the deep jungles of Africa. I don't care. Just send me anywhere that's better than this. Y'all with me? So he lifted me up out of Scottsdale and put me in Phoenix. Not exactly what I was expecting. I was driving down the I-17 freeway, and so I was praying about all these things. And just like he was sitting beside me in the car, he said, "Phoenix is your promised land. For as long as I live, I will have favor in this city. I will have authority in this city. I will be blessed in this city because God called me to this city." Amen. What has God called you to? What has God said about you? I want to encourage young people especially. I love that our church, the demographics are half our church is under 35. So I can't believe they come to hear an older gentleman. But I just want to help that generation. Our culture allows them to quit too easy. We want to teach our kids how to fight, how to stand, and not how to don't let pressure, don't let problems chase you away from something God's promised you, whatever it is. Amen. Lord, bless your people. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love, your life. Thank you for the special night we were allowed to ordain these wonderful men and women. Thank you for your calling on their life. God, I thank you that every word you've spoken to them will come to pass, that every dream in their heart will come to pass. And thank you for the word you've given your church, your people. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Please don't get discouraged. We come to God and say, "God, I have a problem. Would you please solve the problem?" And God gives us a word. And we often say, "That's very cute. Thank you for that word. But I got a problem." He answers our problems with his word. And when we put his word, when we say his word into our problem, it solves it. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, everybody? Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to go long tonight. I apologize. We just had so much cool things to do tonight. Thank you for the surprise, CFTN family, for joining us. We're very honored. They canceled service tonight. Thank you for Prescott coming down. Thank you, Prescott, CFTN family. What a treat it was for us. And thank you, CFTN family, for being here tonight. This was an important night for seeing both to meet our precious Ethiopian pastor and then to see what's happening in both of our campuses. I want to ask Pastor Brian Brizendis, would you come up and close us in prayer? And I'll ask my prayer team if you would come down front, prayer team, as he leads us in prayer.
Thank you, Father. We are grateful for your presence. We thank you for what you've already done. We thank you for your prophetic words, the word from Scripture that you've given us, God. And tonight we agree with your word and we declare it over our lives. We speak to that mountain to be moved, just as you told Zerubbabel, God, that the mountain shall be moved with shouts of grace, God. Tonight we declare to every mountain, every problem, every obstacle in families and marriage and business and finance and health, God, in every area, children that aren't serving you, God, Lord, we declare your word and your promise over their life in Jesus' name. Our household shall serve the Lord, God. Lord, with your stripes we're healed. God, you shall supply all our need according to your riches and glory. God, we declare your promise tonight in Jesus' name, God, and we agree with your word. Like Timothy was spoken to by Paul, God, we fight a good fight with the warfare of these prophetic words in Jesus' mighty name, God, and we trust you, we believe you, God, that every word you watch over it to bring it to pass in these lives in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Brian. In about a month's time, we're having our yearly leadership conference, which, by the way, you're all invited to. And Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of October 14th, 15th, and 16th. We need volunteers to help us with the administration of that event. If you can help us, please see Gail Kirkland here at the church or tell us we need help. If you can host pastors in your home also, we have some pastors that we'll be hosting. We want to invite anyone tonight that needs prayer to come forward. Three things. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, thank you for sitting through this long service, but we're about to fix things for you. Because Jesus loves you, he's with you, he wants to reveal himself to you, and he wants you to know the grace he died to give you. He loved you enough to die on the cross for you. And tonight's your night to receive him if you've never received him. If you've been away from God for any reason, as a Christian, tonight's your homecoming night. Make this a turning point night in your life and watch what God does. Amen? It's a miracle season. It's a breakthrough season. It's a salvation season. Yesterday in our pastor's campus pastor's meeting, Pastor Najib, our Arabic pastor, said he'd been counseling just in a public setting a wealthy and well-placed, influential Arab sheikh in town, Muslim sheikh. And the guy kept wanting to know about scriptures. And finally, this last week, that wealthy Arab sheikh received Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord in this town. I want to tell you, there's nobody God can't reach. Amen? There's no place God can't change. If you're hurting tonight in your body and need physical prayer, we would love to pray for a physical healing for you. If you need help for anything, maybe you're just going through a very difficult time, praying the prayer of faith. The Bible says when we pray the prayer of faith for those in need, God answers it, God heals them, God forgives things that are issues, and God releases a deliverance. So if you need prayer for any reason, if you come down forward for just a moment longer, would you raise your hands to heaven as we sensitize this moment for those that need prayer? If you brought a friend and they need prayer, be a friend to bring them down for prayer tonight as we minister to those that need help and those that are asking for prayer for whatever reason.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
The Lord's healing someone's back. Someone here with back injury that's been, you've actually been in pain in the service. God's healing you right now. Receive it. A dear sister in our church last Sunday after the service met with me. Here's what she said. Pastor, when I started coming here a few months ago, I came with a stroller. The doctor said I had a stroke. Not only has Jesus completely healed my body, but Jesus Christ healed my broken heart from things that happened in my family. I loosen your heart to be healed from brokenness. I loosen your body to be healed from any injury, pain. He's healing bones, muscles, spinal injuries. I loosen healing to your body in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, God, for life and healing. Come on, one more time. Set a fire down in my soul.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more.
Love you. You're an awesome church. Have an awesome week. Invite someone to church with you Sunday. We're going to have awesome services. God bless you. Tell someone Jesus loves them. Good night.
I want more.